Welcome to episode 157. And look, it's race week again. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach. And hey, I'm gearing up for all things Shep Running Festival this week with my co-host and fellow Run to PB coach, Zach and Newman. How you going, mate?
Very excited, mate. It's a big week. And yeah, you've got home ground advantage. And I'm actually excited, mate, because I'm going to get a chance to come out and hang out at the Shepparton Running Festival. I'll be trotting around, but also, yeah, get a chance to see your good self again and all the other legends that are going to be at the Shepparton Running Festival.
Mate, looking forward to it. We've been able to get a bit of the Melbourne Uni hospitality. There's going to be a marquee for the Run to PB athletes to come and share with the Shep Runners Club. So,
I know. Very grateful that you're offering up the marquee, the birdcage.
We figured that there'd be enough room for all of us. So, Yeah, I know the Shep Runners crew are very much looking forward to catching or meeting some of the, I guess, the Run to PB coaches that are coming along. So yourself and Brady and Mads.
Yeah.
So very excited about it. And also some of the, I guess, Laura has been training with the Runners Club for a little while, but there'll be a few more Run to PB athletes coming
past
along.
Past host
as well.
And guest, past Laura, and then past guest Ryan. He's going to be there. So
Ryan making the trek from Sydney and Nick McDermott as well.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Nick's going to be there. Yeah. Actually, I did see that. Yeah. I have seen a bit of a list going around and it's building because there's a few more that are just dropping onto the list. So, yeah, it's going to be a big weekend, mate. And we'll chat a little bit more about that through this episode. Mm-hmm. I know you banged together a nice blog there, mate. You've penned a nice little race week guide, so you've obviously got a number of athletes going around, so it's a busy week for you, mate.
No, I've tripled my vocabulary over the course of the last weekend, so learned some new words, but no, it was good. Hopefully someone's got some out of that they've taken the time to read it.
They enjoyed it. There's some great photos in the archives that popped up. One of you in the visor, in the pissing down rain.
Oh, mate, that was Great Ocean Road. That's the one and only time that I've run that event. And basically told that day from Nora that we're never going back. So
to the Great Ocean Road?
Yeah, no, and whether it's for a run or otherwise, it can get in the bin. So
maybe based on a navigation now. Oh, we're still going there.
Oh, no, that's a sore point. no, I think just for the weather. But Nora wasn't really running much in those days, so you never know. She might get a hankering to go and run something like the half or the 14K at Great Ocean Road and give it a go. But
got a 6K down there, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so, on the Saturday.
Mate, we've also got a guest dropping in.
Yes, we do.
Excited, a Sydney sider that's going to jump on and talk us through her running journey, which is really cool. And I've got a couple of inside line on a few things that we can cover in that chat, Chris, that I think is going to blindside our guest, which is always fun.
It is always fun. It always adds a little bit of spiciness to it. I know we had Ryan on representing the Sydney community a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, very, very keen to for our guest tonight just to add to that flavour.
Mate, I was checking your Strava this week. Looks like you racked up 84 Ks.
It was
mixed week.
Good. It's funny. All of the easy running went really well. Was just starting to feel like I'd absorbed Ballarat quite well. And as a bit of a cliche in the running podcast game, it felt like I was covering the ground well.
Where'd you get that one from?
Well, just on our sister podcast. And I felt like it was going okay, and then really looking forward to getting into a meaty sort of 3x3K on the Thursday. But we talk about sleep being so critical for recovery. Well, sleep's important for life, not just recovery from events. And after the podcast on Wednesday, I went to bed, and unfortunately, I didn't get a lot of sleep. I tossed and turned and end up Look, if I'd cobbled together 90 minutes, I reckon that was probably generous. But yeah, just work's been really busy and the brain just wouldn't go to sleep. And still very, I guess, nervous about taking melatonin after what happened in Gold Coast. So stayed away from that. And yeah, I reckon I got up back up out of bed a bit before 1 o'clock and then jumped on Final Surge and started doing some programming. So apologies to anyone who looked at some of their stuff for this week and went, oh, hang on, this doesn't seem right. There's an explanation for that. But it, I, no, I've,
Someone's
everyone's,
got 21K reps, mine.
oh, mate, it's just all sorts of stuff in there. So I've invented three new sessions. But no, so I got up and I jumped on Final Surge because I was just laying there, the brain was going miles an hour. So I got up.
Have you done that in the past? Like, have you got up and then it's triggered you back to get to sleep, or once you're up again, you're kind of wired?
Most of the time, once I'm up, I'm up. And I'd sort of gone, oh no, it's okay. Look, you haven't had like any real shockers this week. We'll get away with this today. So ingested a bit of caffeine and a protein bar and away we went. Had a very productive couple of hours on Final Surge, but then went out and
Getting
tried,
overtime rates.
yeah, I know, right? Have to increase, slip that into the
The
invoice. But
invoice
no, we so I went out to do my session and felt like it was gonna go okay. Got through the warm-up was all right, and then as soon as I tried to do anything faster than the jog, like just the battery's empty. The idea was to like the 3K, we're going to start around half marathon effort and then ease in. And I didn't really want to look at the watch. I had a look at the first one and I was just curious. It was a 3:45. I thought, oh, that's okay. You can sort of pick it up from there. And just couldn't push at all. Like I had nothing. Anyway, I got through that first 3K into a 3 minute jog. And okay, that's all right. We've got 3 minutes to regroup now. And I reckon I got 500 meters into the next one and went, oh shit, this is hard. And mind you, had perfect conditions. It was cool. The road was dry. It was just perfect. And I think I ran like a 3:48. I went, oh, it's all right. Just get to the next one. Second, like next K was a 3:50 and was just getting worse. And was probably halfway through that third K, went, nah, stop this. This is pointless. Run a 3:54 and then just click my watch and went, no, let's go back to the car. So
Well,
toddled
you can dig
back.
yourself in a real hole. They can carry on for a lot longer than, really.
Yeah, well,
Just
I
get
physically
sick
felt,
or get injured.
yeah, it was just pointless. Like, I honestly felt like I was genuinely trying harder in that second set and I was losing 3 or 4 seconds a K. And I thought, well, you must be that cool because if you're running at running the best part of 15 to 17 seconds a K slower than what you were at Ballarat, and that was without a rest break. So if this was one of your athletes, what would you say? And I reckon I kicked a few rocks at parked cars and then just jogged back.
Didn't wake anyone up doing that.
No, funnily enough, it was, I saw so Vic, one of my athletes training for the marathon, saw him out and gave him a bit of a wave. But yeah, and I just dropped back to the car and thought, let's just regroup. So, yeah, look, I think I was that exhausted. I actually got sent home from work early in the afternoon because I just couldn't function. I don't look that glamorous at the best of times, but it's always a worry when you walk in and your
Well,
colleagues
if you're
go,
coming off
oh,
90 minutes and then two by 3K in the morning, like,
oh,
mate, you're not, yeah.
no amount of caffeine was going to hide that. So, yeah, it was lucky enough. Nora come pick me up about 3 o'clock and drop me off back home and apologize to the runners club and let them know I wasn't going to be at training that night and then come back. And it was funny, I fell asleep for about 2 hours Thursday afternoon and I was that groggy when I woke up. So when I went to sleep, it was light and I woke up and it was dark. And even though I'd only been a couple of hours, I just assumed it was Friday morning. And so I grabbed my phone just to check the time, and it was just after 6 o'clock. And I thought it was 6 in the morning. So I've sat up and I thought, oh, I better go have some breakfast then. And I looked at my phone and I just laughed and went, oh, my phone's cooked. It says Thursday. Like, so I'm still in denial thinking it's Friday morning. But yeah, then yeah, it sort of clicked in. So I got up and turned the TV on, and it was the news talking about what happened Thursday. I'm like, oh, hang on. No, it's definitely Thursday. And checked my watch, and yeah, it was Thursday. So had a bit of a moment, but yeah, slept really well Thursday night into Friday, and then thought, you know what, let's just try and see how this long run goes. So yeah, a bit over 2 hours, 27K, average mid 4:30s, and ran it to feel. Started around 4:40s. Checked my watch once, had a gel about 13K, and end up running the last sort of 5K into 4:20s, which I was really surprised at, because I just didn't feel like I'd really change much. But it's amazing the difference that having a bit of energy and some sleep can make. So,
Or even going back to your analogy around your phone battery, you know, feeling like your battery's empty. You know, I think you need to, do the old factory reset, or at least like take, almost you need to, I think, what is it, when your phone's like, you actually get better charge when you flatten it completely and then fully charge it. So, in a sense, you've got so much going on outside of your running, and you've got your coaching, you've got a lot happening. It sometimes just, it's a time where you just need to really look after yourself and get that big sleep, and yeah, go back to zero, and then hopefully that recharges you. And it looks like you've bounced back well, and into even some 1K reps I saw pop up today.
Yeah, so that was nice. Probably like coming off the back of Thursday, like there's that little voice in the back of your head that goes, oh, maybe you're unfit again. And you're like, don't be stupid. Like a little bit of reality's got to kick in, and you go, hang on, don't be stupid. We just ran a PB like a week or so ago. Like your eyes are actually stinging. You're that tired. Your eyes are sore. So, we just need to get some sleep. And yeah,
Do you
like
put your
Saturday, sorry, mate.
I said, do you put your coach's hat on then, even on yourself, and sort of like try and pull you back in and go, well, if that was one of your athletes saying that, you'd say, actually, you know what? You've actually had a chance to absorb some of this work you've been doing and freshen up, and yeah, you'll now go to another level. Because it's, I mean, it's we're constantly doing it as coach athletes or athlete coaches, that we're toggling between the two. And yeah, in that instance, you probably have to look at it and go, oh, yeah, I'm actually going to be in a bit, I'm in a better spot now that I've actually had a break and tried to get on top of it.
Yeah, I think definitely had a mental refresh. Like even the session that I did today, I wouldn't say I felt like my legs felt really good and quite strong, but energy wise, I'd say I'm probably about a 6 out of 10 at the moment. Just with a bit of work stress, and the sleep's okay, but it's not anything brilliant. We've got 2 weeks off work after this week, which I'm bloody excited about. So,
Gonna say that break from work and just just some chill time would be great. And we'll talk about that session, because I've just seen the numbers and nearly fallen off my chair, mate. You've actually had a cracker of a 1K session and a CR in there of Abraham Lincoln. Didn't know he
Running.
was a fan of your didn't know he was
He
down at
is.
Willinga Park in Shepparton, but yeah.
He is. So he's actually got a so ran along Lincoln Drive this
Oh, I've seen
morning.
that.
So he's got a segment and a drive named after him in the good streets of Shepparton. So
Might have to draw a drive-by along that and I head down this weekend.
yeah, no, well, the course does run right alongside there, so you can check that out. As you're getting around, mate, the sights of Shepparton, you wait till you get over. You haven't seen, we can talk about that later, because that'll send me on another tangent completely. But
You do a separate podcast on that, just a shipping tourist guide.
yeah, no, oh, mate, we used to have a little Facebook chat group called Postcards from Shep, and we would send photos of just weird stuff. So like ibises taking food out of bins, the swamp weed down at the lake, yeah, the residents of Shepparton that are familiar with Vaughan Street and the Coles and all that sort of stuff, where you see some interesting things. That's probably more the material that we were producing in our postcards of Shepparton, as opposed to there weren't a lot of beautiful sunrises or anything like that. It was probably more the humorous things that probably only I find funny. But anyway,
Just
that's another topic.
on that, Chriso, friend of the show, one of your athletes, Chris Nicholson, he tagged us in a post. He's in taper week, and he might have woken up the neighbor's dogs and tripped a few sensor lights off. So
It's good. It's good to see the reach that Canadian running magazines having amongst the wider running community, and also the podcast just getting out there. Couple of things that we can touch on. Obviously, Chris took a lot of inspiration from the lady over in Canada who was triggering her neighbourhood. So he's gotten out there, started his warm up at 4:50 a.m. Straight into the K reps, and then bang, sensor lights popping off, dogs here and there. Was nearly tempted to cut one of his recoveries short because he was hearing a bit of movement in the front section of where he was taking his standing recovery. So he ran a cracker of a session too. Maybe that's just the kind of adrenaline you need to knock one out at 5 o'clock. But also had a report. Those keen listeners all know that just on that, we mentioned the rooster that lives in Kyala, and lo and behold, it made its debut in the residence page over the weekend. Mel Hiscock spotted that one and sent that through to me. And
that's gone.
Yeah, someone was most upset that a local might have a rooster in their backyard. But after closely examining the comments, because there was quite a few, it turns out it's a wild rooster and no one's been able to catch it.
No one's actually claiming it.
Mate, he's free range, this one. So he gets out and about, a bit of cockle-doodle-doo to start your day. And yeah, apparently it's has upset a few of the members of the local community. So
how early do you need to get up for could this be part of the Shepparton experience this weekend?
Oh, look, it's probably a bit. the sun is getting up earlier, but I reckon it's probably a good sort of 5:45 to 6:15 a.m. experience.
No chance, mate. Well, you got through the week, mate, and it looks like you're on the upswing again, and then you'll have a big weekend with your athletes, and we'll chat a little bit later about your role over the weekend.
Yeah, no, looking forward to this weekend. All the hard stuff of the running's out of the way now, sort of downward going with about a 10-day taper into Burnley. So. Very excited. The eyes are a bit heavy, but that's more from a bit of running fatigue as opposed to bugger all sleep. But good signs. I'm happy.
I think I'll ask you this last week. Have you done Burnley before?
Yes.
Did it last year? No.
No, not last year. Well, maybe. Year. I've done. Yeah, I've run the Burnley AV, the half marathon at AV once before, and I think that might have been...
As an invite?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. So that would have been a few years ago, and it was the first year that Nathan Stoke was running for Bendigo, so I'm going to say it was probably 4 years ago now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to be exciting, mate. Not long to that, and we'll be able to chat. In the coming weeks as you gear up for that one.
Yeah. What about yourself, mate? You've had a big week, like so plenty of Ks and a few sort of flybys of a few athletes that you've caught up with as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just bring up my week because I think I ended up hitting decent mileage. I reckon I got over the 70K mark again.
Mm.
And, yeah, things are progressing nicely in terms of that. Yeah, the strength work and the sort of, I guess, off the track routine is in place and it's starting to pay off in terms of, it's a little bit of a, there's some days are better than others and I can kind of feel and knowing that with Achilles, kind of you can load it up, then you need to just give it a little bit of a rest and then reload it again. And I'm just layering on extra minutes and I'm still keeping with the 6 days and that seems to be working. Lots of 45 to 55 minute runs and that's those ones are ticking along nicely. And then I got out, so Saturday planned to do, I was actually going to do a 20 minute straight tempo and plan to do it actually down along by the old stomping ground, start at the Tam, but actually go along the river and just go out 10 and back 10. Pretty easy.
Oh, nice. That'd be a good loop, that one.
It is. Yeah. I mean, well, you can get, if the rowing is on, you get people that are sort of on the bike following coaches and stop starting. That can be a little bit tedious or Yeah, just but generally it's a pretty clear path. And yeah, it's got a couple of little, because you got to go up near Chapel Street, so you go up to the church, and you've got a couple of little rises that just sort of break your rhythm up. And then yeah, you can roll. I did a lot of work there over the years of between of marathons and marathon sessions, progression runs. But yeah, it was warming up, and then got to the tan, and we actually ran into, I was just warming up with Al. I was gonna do it solo, and Al was, he's sort of nursing his body, so he was like, I'll just go out and do a little warm up and do a jog with you. And then which you ran into Jeff Risley, who for those just a star spotter, star spotting it was for us, because I mean we know Jeff, and run with him a couple of times, never done a session with him, but he's obviously been retired, four-time Olympian. I think just, God, if you look up his PB, what's he running? It's ridiculous. He's run 3:32 for a 1500. He's had an unbelievable career. Two-time top eight in the Com Games, national champ. Like a ripping guy, really, really down-to-earth guy. And I was jogging around. I knew he'd obviously been retired, but he still keeps fit. And he was chatting to me, and we were finishing. He said, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" And we're like, I said, well, I know how. Yeah, he still keeps fit. I said, "Oh, mate, I'm just doing a tempo. My tempo these days is gonna be, 3:45 to 3:50s or something." He's like, "Oh, perfect. I'm gonna run 3:45." So I'm like, "Really?" And he's obviously like, he's not like, he's just enjoying doing his running time. And he's like, "Mate, can I join in?" Like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, I wasn't gonna turn around and say, "Nah, you can't." Like.
No, you're like, no,
Yeah.
sorry.
No, you're
No,
not good enough.
Jeff.
Oh, yeah. You've got to go to five Olympics and then you can join in.
No.
And the funny thing was, because I was chatting to Dane about just like, a couple of things we can do with a carathon session, because I'm finding that the fatigue gets towards the end. And last, I don't know if you could call last Saturday, I got through the session, fatigued at the end. And then by Sunday, I was quite a bit banged up. So I could only sort of get out 45, 50 minutes, and it was a bit tender early. Whereas we thought, well, let's put some calf sleeves on. And I've
Yep.
only worn them a couple of times. I've had them for years and found them in the bottom of my drawer. Thought, oh, all right, I'll chuck these. I was running with Al. I thought, I really don't. I said to him, I said, I look like an absolute peanut here. I've got like Chris Paul Reason would just have a fit.
Oh dear.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I was there was nothing matching. I had the Lululemon shorts. I had the I had my oat socks on. I had had the calf guards that just had all bloody writing all over them. There was nothing was matching. I'm running
No.
down in what did I run down in the Super Blast? I think I was holding my Rebellion Pros and Zunos,
Yeah, okay.
and it just looked like a shambles really. And then I see Jeff, and he's, I don't know, you've obviously seen Jeff. He's a very he's a very good looking guy, and he seems to always have the swagger with the full Nike kit on. He's like, mate, I'm thinking you're gonna have to run with me looking like an absolute donkey.
What sort of
Anyway,
colors? What sort of colors? Sorry, I think we just want to paint a bit more of a picture for the listeners.
well, when you say that, as I crossed, as we decided, yeah, we're going to do the session, we did a couple of strides on the corner of Anderson Street. And who do I run into is Luke Bell from On, and he's there.
Oh
He's just pissing himself. He's
no.
obviously ex-triathlete. I said, mate, you look like an age group triathlete. I said, like, copping it from a triathlete.
Oh.
And he's there doing a photo shoot with one of the new On athletes, Ben Deary, of 400, 800 feet.
Yeah, okay.
And
Yeah.
he's
Oh.
just absolutely giving it to me, getting the photographer to take photos of me, and he's just so he can absolutely use it as bait for down the track. So the morning was, yeah, before the session had even started, my confidence was just
He's thinking it can only go up from here.
yeah. And then I got to run next to one of the smoothest movers going around, and I'm on one leg here. Anyway, we did go and do the session, and we did we broke it up because Jeff was only going to do 8 minutes into like a six, and some broken, and we ended up compromising and did 2 by 9 minutes with a 2 minute recovery. And yeah, it was fun. Like, we sort of just worked. I mean, I was actually just sitting on Jeff for the back up for the first. We kind of worked together on the first one, and then yeah, he started to turn the screws and the in the last rep, and I was sort of hanging on to his coattails. But
yeah, okay,
it was really fun, and yeah, super like really good guy, and even just. Yeah, he's obviously doing some coaching at the moment with some schools, and we had a good chat about that. And yeah, it was actually a real privilege to get along and do a session with Jeffer. So yes, those days, mate, where you think, you know, I would be happy to do this session in the dark with the kit I was wearing, but
I think even though you may have put together a kit of shame, I think just having some company for that, and look, of all people, Jeff Risley, that's pretty bloody special. But just having someone there to go and do it with, it just doesn't feel like work. You're just out there loving the day and getting stuck into it. And like, how's the body bounce back from it? You feeling good?
That was probably the best part about it. Like I felt fatigued in the last sort of 3-4 minutes of it, and that's probably just still conditioning, doing that extended amount. Like, I've done a lot of broken tempos, and this is sort of like, okay, we're just getting close to doing a full tempo. But the best part was I pulled up good in the next day. I stayed flat still. I think I only still, well, it was about 60 minutes, I think, the next day. But the key thing was I pulled up a lot better than last week and done more Ks and probably more of a, probably a harder hit out, I'd say, or at least for an extended time. So yeah, that was a big positive, getting out Sunday. And I mean, actually, yeah, talk about flybys. So there was a I came across my desk that a couple of Run to PB athletes I coach were hooking up for a Sunday run, and they were James Telford and Paul Reason. And Paul had been in town since, I got a message from him maybe on Friday. He said, I'm actually going to be in Melbourne. So I'm coming over for a bit of an impromptu weekend. Got a few things on. And I said, oh, awesome, mate. I'm doing a lot of running over the weekend. We should tee up a run.
Yeah.
And, donuts. Just didn't get any.
Reply.
No, it was reply, but it was more about what he was doing on the weekend. I was like, okay, cool. Okay. So it sort of didn't labour the point too much. And then I saw he'd been around the town, and once he was there by Friday, and it's Saturday he might have been out there. So I missed him there. So, and then I heard Saturday Arvo that a long run was going down. I sort of just checked in. I said, oh, mate, you know, might have just
you know, looking for a plus trip one.
Going? Yeah, I didn't approach. I was just waiting for him to sort of maybe put it out there. Hmm. Nothing. And yeah, in the end, I didn't go to the flat, so I stayed local, and I went out along the Yarra, and believe it or not, I ran into James Telford.
Of all people.
So he was finishing his 2.5 hour run, or 2:15, I think he had, moving really well. So myself and Al guided him back to the tan, and we finished the run, and he told us how much fun he had with Paul Reason.
Yeah, right.
Earlier. So
wow.
He was one of the lucky ones that got a run with the big fella.
So, yeah, this must be almost like a VIP guest list. Like, you just mightn't have just quite reached the top of the chain, mate.
Yeah, look, it's fair to say my form doesn't reflect, you know, someone that Paul would want to be around at the moment. So that's what I'm putting it down to.
Any truths that like Paul may have gotten word of the kit that you were rolling on Saturday and just went, sorry, we can't be seen together.
Yeah, I reckon that's actually probably what happened. Yeah. Yeah. So by Sunday, I checked in with him on Sunday. I said, how was the run? I ran into Telford. He complained about the loop. He said, Telford didn't know where he was going.
No.
I said, mate, well, you know, could have asked me. I've only run around the 10. Like every day.
It's like your home. Yeah. Like it's you're the local legend.
So yeah, very disappointed from our man Paul. Although if you followed him on social media, you would have seen a lot of his weekend. Geez, there was a fair bit going on from Paul. I mean, there was so much going on, just not a run with me.
I think he went to
every restaurant in Melbourne. And every cocktail bar, and then there was some shopping. It was apparently a full tracksuit was
no really
was purchased. That's what I've heard.
Oh,
anyway,
jeez. Yeah.
Anyway, we shouldn't
crumbs.
Yeah,
I heard. I mean, they do make some nice kit, but that what do you reckon a full tracksmith tracksuit would be worth?
I don't know, mate. But there was I reckon the amount of shopping he did, I reckon he was definitely not taking that back on the plane. He was putting it back on a ship or a shipping container back to Tassie. Yeah. In fact, I think our man Matty Morgan might have commented, and he said something along the lines about Dan Andrews. Forget about what Dan Andrews cost Victoria pulling the Commonwealth Games. Poor reason has made it up in the local economy. I thought that was a pretty good gag from Matty Morgan.
Well played, Matty. I think it looked good to see Paul coming over and supporting the economy, pumping a few dollars into the local restaurants, particularly some of those hard up ones through.
Yeah. That's well, that's what you get for not including me on any of the runs. I know I went in again on Monday. I said, I have no shame. I just said, mate, can I get a run with you on a Monday or Tuesday? But nothing, mate. I think you must have been at the tattoo parlor.
It wasn't down. He didn't venture down into the Yarra Boulevard by chance, did he?
No, he's not allowed there, mate.
He couldn't get a key.
It was a good week, mate, despite not getting a run with Paulo, but everything else was all positive.
That's right. Maybe a bit closer to Melbourne Marathon. Maybe. Paul heading back over for Melbourne?
Sydney. He's heading up to Sydney for the 10. And Matty Morgan will be in town for that. For the
Matty's
marathon.
Matty's a bit more blue collar.
Yeah. A bit more approachable. anyway, people have probably gone to sleep with this poor reason bake. But, mate, we have got a Run to BB athlete that is waiting for the lobby to come in. It's going to be cool to chat to this one. So let's let her in.
Let's bring her in.
Tonight's guest on the Better With Running podcast signed up to Run to BB in October 2022. At the time, but only run. She's only a couple of years, a few halves under the belt, and in her own admission and as part of the sign-up form, had said a shocking Melbourne half. Portia signed up to be run coached by Karina Fife with an 18.065K, a 38.30 10K, and a 124.50 half to her name. Signed up looking to improve her times and get some structure with her training. And to hear about her journey, we've got her on the show. Welcome to the show, Portia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Excited to chat. And we have got a few questions lined up, as well as the famous quick or slow questions, quick fire questions that we're going to hit you with a little bit later. How are you going up there in Sydney?
Yeah, I'm going well. Have recently moved places and I've found myself in one of the hilliest places in Sydney. I mean, there's a lot of hilly places, but it's been nice for running routes, trying to mainly avoid the hills, to be honest, but still get some hills in there.
We did a bit of stalking in our research on your Strava and yes, can confirm you've found there is a lot of hills in your area and you're racking up the K's over those hills.
That's right. Hills pay the bills, mate. And I know you're sort of keen on those half marathon distances, so they'll stand you in good stead. But before we, I guess, get and talk a bit more about your racing that you're doing at the moment, how'd you get into running? How'd you get your start? And what's that sort of look like for you?
Yeah, I think I was a pretty standard sort of runner from the COVID era, but I started dating my partner, Sam, and he was a runner. He's a big runner. And he'd go out and run every day and every afternoon. I sort of felt like I was missing out on the fun. So I was like, oh, I can give this a go. Like, you go out and see the sunrise every morning. Like, I'll jump on that and try it out. So started running mostly with him. And then, like, I guess through running, you meet a lot of people. So running with lots of people around Sydney, and I was in Canberra at the time too. So yeah, sort of a tag along start to running.
So then you haven't sort of looked back since the COVID era, since you, I guess, got started, some very impressive results. What can you tell us about the Delta Running Project?
Oh yeah, that's a group, and it's kind of like a social, I don't know what you call it, like a running group based in Sydney, and we run, I sort of like jump in and out. I'm not the most consistent member, but there's a group from Gore Hill, one of the ovals in Sydney. They refer to it as the Field of Dreams. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's a pretty famous spot around Sydney, but yeah, a group that do sessions out of there and like meet up for long runs and whatever else. It's cool. Quite a nice like community group. Nice to meet people.
They've got some cool kit too, Zaka.
I have seen the kit. It's very cool. Big fan.
Yeah, the purpley pinky kind of look.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Portia, just early days, like pre-running, sport, was it part of your life growing up? What about high school? Did you have to play any sport, or did you play any sport?
Yeah, I've kind of always been very sporty and active. I'm the type of person that will pick something up and it's suddenly like every single day it's like your thing. So I was originally like a swimmer throughout primary school, and then played basketball, and I was a rower through school. So they're always sports that are like everyday type commitments, or like seven sessions a week. And then after school, like I was never really a runner before. Now I do like school cross country and little like runs here and there. And then after school, I spent some time like ski instructing. So I was working as an instructor for a few years, and then in the summers would spend a lot of time hiking and doing yoga as well. So I was a yoga ski instructor kind of mix.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's an interesting combo. Yeah. In Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, what a good spot to do that. Brilliant. Hey, moving on to your running of late, some recent races. We got a chance to obviously catch up or meet up at the Lululemon event up at the Running post Gold Coast. But I know before that you had a big breakthrough run at the Sydney 10, rocking the Delta kit, 37.05.
I think it was something like that.
37. Yeah. Big PB, over a minute and a half PB. How did that one unfold for you? And did you think you were in that shape? Like, was there some things that you were doing in training that you thought, okay, I'm on for a big one?
I think so. I think my training probably showed that I was going to run somewhere around there. I'd done like a few 10Ks in the lead up to that, and they were on like, I did like the Sun Run in Sydney. That's a bit of a hillier 10K. And then Canberra 10K, which isn't super hilly, but I guess it's not a super big field. So you don't get the like as much of a race atmosphere. Mm. But I think I was surprised, but like probably that was within what I was capable of then. Yeah.
Pretty big race as well, the Sydney 10. Like,
yeah. It's an insane race to be a part of. You have like a whole pack running every like, I guess like 10 second kind of interval.
Yeah, no, very cool. And I guess there's someone who, started a few years back just as a COVID runner, and then now you're lining up against, I'm going to say it was Eloise Wellings there, or some of the big Leanne Poppiani. Very cool to be lining up with some legends of our sport.
It's great to go like to the start lines and see all of the like professional kind of athletes. It's really cool to be a part of.
So you're building up now towards the half marathon in Sydney in a few weeks. How's the training going?
Yeah, it's been good, pretty good. I was away last week, so I actually didn't end up running that much. Well, I I wasn't really like programmed to run much, just like some short runs in the afternoon, but I was out skiing at Threbo. So kind of had a week off running.
Bit of an altitude camp.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, a lot of skiing, so it was still like a workout kind
full of. Full body workout, yeah.
Yeah. Had my first, and then I had a session back on Tuesday, like, what was that, yesterday, and that was okay. You know, when you have a week off, like fast running, you're like, oh yeah, it's a bit of a shock. The race is pretty soon, so I'm excited to, it'll be my first half this year, but we'll see how we go.
Seen some very, very cool sessions pop up in August. I saw there's a 27K, there's a 2 hour long run. Was that your long run?
Yeah, I think so.
2 hours at 4:25. So you've cranked out 27K. So picked up the course record on Lady Game Bridge to Roundabout. So congratulations on that one as well.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's like big K. Like you've averaged, including your ski adventure, like 72K weeks in the past five. Or last 4 weeks, sorry, according to Strava, with some decent elevation in each week.
I mean, I don't try. I almost try to avoid it, but I do get a lot of elevation. It's been good.
And since coming on board with RunsBB and being coached by Karina, what are some of the things that she's taught you along the way with your training?
I think not having a coach and being new to running and then sort of dating a big runner, I sort of got into running and was like, oh, he does like about 160Ks a week. I'm a new runner. So if I half that, like, I think this is where I should be, like get into running and run like 80K weeks, not really realizing that was quite a lot. Like that's a big mileage for a new, completely new runner. So I guess like Karina's helped me find a level of running that's probably like appropriate for where I'm at and not be like, I think I had like a decent first year and then my second year of running, I was in like a really quite overtrained like state. I think that's what led to like a really bad Melbourne marathon, just like no one half getting to the start line and being like already kind of fried. Yeah, so I think having someone like find a good level of training for me, make you have rest days. I mean, now I love rest days. and also help with like race like plans and things. I'm very guilty to going out too hard and blowing up. So it's been good to have a little bit more structure in how I approach races. Yeah.
Yeah, Karina's very, very switched on when it comes to formulating the race plans and just structuring those training blocks, particularly leading into race week.
I love like looking at her, how the sessions progress week on week, and you can see that she's like added a tiny bit, and then like by the time you get to the race, you're like, oh yeah, I feel quite confident because I've done these sessions and like at the race pace and whatever, I feel like I could do that.
What are some of your favorite sessions that you've done?
I love sessions. I love like most sessions. Maybe like I really like sessions of like Deeks quarters type, like in the faster like kind of 5K range, but also like K reps and things too. I do 4 by a mile quite a bit.
Yeah, nice. It's a good session.
Sometimes hilly tempos. I love hilly tempos.
not easy hills, just tempos. Yeah.
But I just don't like, I mean, we've had a few conversations about this, Karina and I. I'm just not that good at tempos. I find them like really, really challenging workouts.
You find it a bit harder to try and settle back at a pace that's meant to feel a bit more comfortable early on because you do like to get out hard.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I'm just like, I feel like tempos should feel comfortable, but they don't feel that comfortable. It's kind of like, I find it an awkward pace.
Yeah. No, it is. And yeah, just like, I don't know. I think you're heading into the coach's pet territory there by saying that you love sessions and you like hilly, like you're liking all these different sessions. And yeah, it's just a few athletes that should take a leaf out of your book, I think.
it's like long runs that I'm like, oh, I'm not that fazed by them, like I'm learning.
Well, yeah, given your partner Sam Hopper, who absolutely loves a long run, and we love all running, and it's good to hear he's after a little bit of a break from an injury, he's on the rebuild from my sources say. So very cool. That's and Sydney's obviously on the radar. Is there anything after that?
I'm tempted to run Melbourne half again. I think it's like a 5-week turnaround after Sydney, so that will be like a pending how I pull up kind of thing. Hopefully. I hope Corona agrees with that. And then I'm not too sure after that.
Have you guys talked about goals for Sydney?
Not yet. I've done like a lot of races throughout this year, like every like month or a bit month and a half, kind of 2 months. So I've tried to like not have too much of a focus on any single race and just kind of like enjoy going into a race and like try my best and seeing how it goes.
You're finding like with the regular racing, you're still finding that you're getting nervous in the lead up to it, sort of, or you're just more sort of like calm knowing that you've done the work and just excited to see how it's going to turn out on the day?
Yeah, maybe calmer, but maybe my last race before this, I think it was Gold Coast 10K. I was probably like too calm and didn't have like the anticipation, so didn't have like the greatest day. But yeah, I guess it's a double-edged sword, overcoming the nerves, but then also building up the like excitement around a race enough.
Very cool. Hey, no, we're absolutely behind you for Sydney and excited to see how that unfolds. Chriso, is it time for some of your, we've been called out this week about quick questions actually being slow questions or lasting longer than the interview. So
this is like the second part of the interview. We start out with some nice easy stuff, and then we sort of get into the nitty gritty and find out a bit more about our guests with our silly random questions, which I think we all enjoy. So you feeling game, Portia?
I am. I was going to say when I listened to the episode, the quick fire questions are a little bit slow.
Okay. All right, we'll race through a couple of easy ones, a couple of layups for you.
I'm not saying I didn't like it, though. It was
no, it's okay. We've got some, probably got some hidden ones, a little bit of inside info, which we might call on later on, depending on how you go with the first few. But what sort of watch are you wearing, mate?
I have a Coros Pace.
Oh, dear. That is massive. Well, we have
thanks for joining us, Portia. have a great night.
Wow.
How are you finding the Coros? You're not, I think you're the first person that's wearing one. That did you have to pay for it?
Yeah, I did.
you're the first person that's worn one that's had to pay for one. So that's okay. How do you find it, honestly?
I do. I like it. Yeah.
Good. What features? I hear the battery life's really good.
The battery life is really good. Mm-hmm. I charge it, I think, once a week. So that's
good.
I guess it's just like the basic model, so I don't have all of the like mapping features, but the track mode is really good.
Yeah.
Not that I run on the track that much, but yeah.
Well,
could be worse. You could have an Apple Watch.
Yeah, no, we Ryan from Sydney, he had us an Apple Watch, which we're going to throw him at the Shepparton Lake on Sunday when he comes down to visit.
I'm just going up to Shepparton to see if he's got the Apple Watch or not.
That is uncommon.
Can you use track mode around Field of Dreams with Delta?
I actually haven't, just because the Field of Dreams is about like just under 500 meters.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something I should test out and get back to you. But
definitely worth testing.
Yeah,
we've got to put the Coros to the full range of its capabilities. So That's all right. We'll have to jump on Strava and have a look at that one. Phone. Yeah, yeah. Phone. What are we going with?
An iPhone.
Yep. Cool. Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice. Latest model, or have you had it for a few years?
I've had it for a few years. Just crack the screen.
No, it's okay. That's an acceptable answer, especially for someone in their mid-20s. I'm impressed that you've had your phone longer than 12 months. Good job.
I thought that was quite standard.
No, that's cool. Zach had mentioned before your long runs have started to lengthen out a bit. Have you started taking gels in your long runs?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, favorite gel?
I used to be a Morton fan. Now I'm a Coda.
Yeah, they're starting to get a bit of steam amongst the community.
Yeah.
What flavour? What are we going to?
I like the, I think it's cola. And yeah. I sometimes take the caffeinated one, which I think is.
Someone else has said the cola. Yeah. I'll have to give one a crack.
A lot cheaper than Morton.
Yeah, cost of living these days. And Morton versus a Coda.
And I feel like they go down easier too.
Good one.
Out of all the sessions that Karina gives you, if there was one that you could pick as a favorite, and this is hard because I know you love them all, but what would you pick? What's your favorite? Look, when you see it on the program, it's like a little double fist come, like, yes.
I love, like, she sets like K under, K over threshold. I like that session.
How far are we going in that one?
It's usually like, well, I think she's like built it up. I think we've gotten to like 4Ks over 4 under, so like 8Ks of work maybe.
Solid.
Don't quote me on that. Yeah.
Like that.
Now, I hear you're a bit of a long route enthusiast when it comes to planning. What makes a good long route through Sydney? How do you pick a plan?
How do I pick a plan?
How do you pick a route through Sydney for the long run? How do you map it out?
You're getting on Strava, you're looking at segments or maps.
No, I don't look at segments. I hate traffic lights and like stoppages. Yeah, so maybe things are like pretty continuous and that there's not too much traffic lights or roads to cross. Like nothing too steep on the hills, but yeah,
that's the only criteria.
That's your anything else you want to add?
No? I don't know. Is there something I should say? I do. Well, I love like ending a loop and you've got the perfect number.
No, it's got to be a round number. But I hear there's a little whisper. There's a few whispers that have come through earlier this evening that you might have an encyclopedic knowledge for every single toilet in the Sydney CBD.
Is this from Sam?
Look, we don't awesome. Give up our
we don't
source.
Know. We don't know.
Podcast.
He may have long hair. And,
I do know the toilets that well, but I'd argue he actually knows them better. I feel like he's throwing me under the bus. No, but toilet stops are very important.
No,
especially if you're
going to
start a session. You don't want to be left like in the middle of not nowhere. You're in the middle of the CBD, but you know.
No, I agree with you on that point. I think a good running location, definitely having a toilet start is paramount.
It's definitely looked on favorably.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Especially if you're starting early.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Portia, early morning runs or are we an evening runner?
I'm not really either. Like I do run in the morning for necessity of lifestyle, but I'd rather like a mid-morning run. Can that be an answer? Morning, but like on weekends, I love like a 10 a.m. start.
Oh. 4 hours.
Jesus. 10 a.m. Hey. That's sort of pro warm down hours.
Especially in winter. I mean, Sydney isn't as cold as like Melbourne, but
true.
Hard to get a bed.
Yeah, okay. Is Sam on the same page here?
During the week, it's before work, like earlier.
Yeah. Okay. Let you off there.
10 o'clock's lunchtime on Saturday for me. We've done the groceries.
He's done his double at 10 o'clock.
About between 9 and 10.
We're planning our evening meal at 10 o'clock in the morning.
So I'm an evening runner.
Nah, that's okay. Half tights or shorts? Do you have a preference?
Maybe tights.
Yep. Favorite running sock?
I don't necessarily have like a favorite I'm raving about. I like, I have some Lululemon socks at the moment that are pretty good.
Yeah. Any particular color or just?
Just like black.
Yeah.
Socks. Yeah.
Chris is, if you're watching, if you can't see this, but Chris has just flipped the desk. He's a massive sock guy. And
they need to be more colorful.
Yeah.
No, look, I had really high hopes because I saw there's a great photo of you from the Sydney 10K in your Delta kit, and I'm thinking, well, that is a flash top. This group's got some really good style about them. I thought, it'd be interesting to see what Porsche thinks. And we're team black kit. And that's okay.
Colorful socks are really hard with like bright shoes.
Yeah. Mm. No, it's okay. I'm fan of the block colors because my wife Nora, she's exactly the same. She's happiest when she's got black singlet, black shorts, black socks, black shoes. That's her. So, no, completely understand.
I don't know if as many people as you think about their socks when they're going for a run as you do.
We found a lot of people that we've interviewed that have said that they do. So,
really?
Yes. Yeah, it's very popular in the community.
I'm torn, mate.
I'm definitely more worried about the shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care about shoes more.
Now, that's our next question, funnily enough. Shoes. What are you wearing on your easy days and for races? What's your choice at the moment?
For races, I've just been wearing Vaporflies, specifically the version 1.
Okay.
Because I've been informed by Sam that they're a lot better than 2. Easy days, a bit of a mix I love. They're not like a super easy day shoe, but I love Endorphin Speeds.
Good hybrid shoe, that one. You could do a session or an easy run in those.
Yeah. I just got a pair of Superblast. They're also not really an easy day shoe, but I probably wear them for my like easier runs too. Keen to try them.
Exactly. Any other super shoes that you've worn for races other than the Vaporfly?
I've worn the Saucony Pro 3s, which I like quite a lot for races too.
Yep. No, they're a good shoe. I've got a pair of those. They're nice.
Yeah.
Pretty handy having your partner work at a... He's still working at a running store?
He's about to start at a brand. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's right. He's a shoe dog through and through. So
yeah.
You're in good
hands. It's hard not to be influenced.
Yeah.
Shoes that come out.
Yeah.
Favorite sport to watch on TV?
Ooh, tough one. I've just been watching The Athletics tonight. That's pretty good. I like watching swimming too. They're not like your traditional like footy type sport, but yeah, I really like watching swimming and athletics.
Are you an emotional sports watcher?
Yes.
That's okay.
I've stopped you too much.
What could you any memorable sort of sporting events that you've watched and sort of what's happened?
I just get really emotional watching sport, and I feel like so excited for the people competing, even if I don't know who they are. And it's an embarrassing trait, definitely. But
how did you fare in the World Cup? You would have been
it immense. Was a bit embarrassing because I was at the pub watching the semi-final, and the game hadn't even started, but they were showing like repeats of the game before. And I was already in tears. I just can't help it. Even watching ads on TV that are like sport related.
Yeah, wow. Okay. You'll be a mess during every 4 years around the Olympics.
Even going to watch like the marathon, like standing at the finish line of a marathon, of like whatever, Melbourne Marathon. It's quite emotional, yeah.
No, I love that. I think that's great. It just, hey, it means you love something. I think that's brilliant. So, no, that's okay. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
My immediate reaction is like pizza or something, but I think I would get sick of it. So maybe like something kind of neutral, like chicken stir fry or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite type of pizza?
Just like margarita.
Yeah.
Like a nice wood fire pizza.
Yep. It'll add like a square shaped pizza.
Square pizza is good.
Yeah.
I don't see many square. Where do you get a good square shaped pizza?
There's this place in Kirribilli. I don't know what else Sam has told you. There's this place in Kirribilli that has really nice square pizzas, and we've had a few friends go, and they've gone to like try out the pizza, and they're like, yeah, like it's not that good. I think it's like pretty overrated. So it's a bit of a inside joke that square pizza is just not as good, but I beg to differ.
Drop your name at the Kirribilli pizza joint for a discount. The square pizza, the code Porter and Sam.
Yeah.
you said neutral, like you mentioned chicken stir fry, but what about like a sort of a cereal or a breakfast food? Could there be something neutral that you could have every day that you enjoy having a lot of?
Am I meant to say Weet-Bix here?
Good. Knows you well. What do you usually have your Weet-Bix with? Most people, like, you know, milk or something like that, or what do you?
This is cruel because I think he does Weet-Bix and water too. When we first met, I introduced him to Weet-Bix and water, and it sounds weird, but it's more like that mixture and then yogurt and like fruit and things on top.
Fresh. See, no, that's okay.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Interesting couple, one there, Chriso.
No, some interesting. It's good. It's good. A couple more, mates, to finish off. You're a coffee enthusiast as well. There'd be some nice places to get a coffee from.
Oh, in Sydney. Yeah, Sydney. They do good coffee, don't they?
A favorite cafe or a favorite place to go to grab a coffee?
I don't necessarily have a favorite. Should I? Yeah, I'll have coffee anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe like a 7-Eleven or something like that.
I will have coffee anywhere, including 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it's putting available, no?
Yeah. We are putting together a bit of a recipe book for the guests that have come on, and it's going to be a bit of a coffee table type setup, isn't it, Chris? Coffee table.
Yeah, a bit of a digital coffee table.
Yeah. So we might get a picture of the 7-Eleven coffee and the Weet-Bix with water and chuck that in there. That'd be really exciting.
Hey, if you pop together
the recipe, two ingredients: Weet-Bix and water.
Perfect.
Oh, just with a few, you know, bit of fruit, bit of yogurt on top as well.
Flowers in there,
a few flowers. Also here,
I can hear the judgment, but I think you're not going to try it.
Look, my wife Nora loves her Weet-Bix, and to be honest, I can't stand them. I grew up on Vita-Brits, so yeah, Weet-Bix I can't do, but Vita-Brits is what I was used to, and just covered in about an inch of sugar. So, that's okay. Yeah. Hey, also here, mate, you love your podcast. What sort of podcasts do you listen to?
I listen to a lot. Always like on the commute home from work, some running podcasts, some yeah, like things related to work, like environmental type podcasts, some like chit chat sort of brain sort of like numbing podcast too.
No, so any that you could recommend, and this isn't a stitch up, this is actually a genuine question. This one, any podcast that you'd recommend for anyone out there?
I've been listening to The Science of Sport recently, which has been good. What else? I do love a bit of Inside Running podcast. Yeah, I think those.
Keep Boss really happy. That'll keep Brady happy.
Sorry?
That'll keep Brady Trollful happy. Keep him,
this podcast, of course.
brand new favorite. It's just gone straight into the rotation. Yeah. You'd be able to put this on at work for everyone.
I'll recommend it to them.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that's any? Yeah, I think we're gonna let you off there because you've copped a bit of a roast courtesy of Sam, who gave us a lot of inside info. So you've been a great sport in jumping on the podcast and getting through the semi quick questions.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And good luck at Sydney. It's
going
to be exciting to see how it all goes and then potentially see you down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
If not at Melbourne Marrow, at some other point.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Portia.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. See ya. Oh, that was a lot of fun, mate. And big thank you to Portia for being a good sport there because not easy when you get thrown on a podcast and then you cop a bit of a bake when you got a bit of inside info off our man Sam Hopper.
No, big thanks to Sam for sharing that info. But no, Portia was an absolute star. Hopefully we can get her back on at some stage and have a bit of a chat and give her a chance to probably get even with us. So but no, she did really well.
We'll bring Sam on next time and I think she'd lay a few blokes back.
That'd be good.
Hey mate, I know World Athletics, the world champs are on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some big stuff happening over there and this probably, I mean, it didn't go under the radar in our desk, but
no.
It's absolutely huge news in the running world. And when I sent it through, I had to sort of step away from the desk, take a moment to just absorb it and maybe just do, like you mentioned, the old double fist pump because I was pretty excited to hear this news.
Well, I think... like there's certain events that you look forward to during the year, like Berlin Marathon is definitely one that I always look forward to because prospect of some fast times and Valencia as well, probably another favourite and world champs at the moment. I mean, yeah, it's just a privilege to get up every morning and see the work that Mitchie's put together and sort of encapsulate the results. But there was one that didn't make straight at it for this one. No, Sunday, the Edmonton Marathon.
Massive run from our
man David. David Ilyuk. He's back. Keen listeners will know that David has a bit of a fetish for T-shirts. And if there's nothing we love more than a man who enjoys a T-shirt or two, it's one who enjoys a world record number of T-shirts whilst they run. And David, he's gone to town. He's... He's fired the good people at Guinness up and he has absolutely destroyed the marathon record.
Yeah. Oh. So 5 hours and 1 minute, 50 seconds for the Service Edmonton Marathon. He's donned 78 T-shirts. Got across the line. That's a massive run from Dave and, mate, I reckon they'll make a Netflix doco about this one because this is a comeback story.
Oh, mate,
if the greatest
Netflix, you've got your Drive and Survive, those sorts of things that are real genuine features,
inspirational stuff.
Absolutely, like even those people who ESPN fans, there's the 30 for 30 series. Oh. So, there's Jordan riding the bus. There's the Detroit Pistons series. There's fans of NFL. There's Bo Jackson. That's a great one. But I think there's some real money to be made here with David Elliott. I'm
Yeah.
sure that it's in the works as we speak, getting in there and probably speaking to different clothing manufacturers who sort of put these t-shirts together, and his coaches for the training program, and even his neighbors who would see him out at strange time. And I hope they don't have sensor lights or anything like that, or small dogs, but just the incredible amount of work that's gone into this achievement. I can't even begin to fathom what it must be like putting on 78 t-shirts and getting out there and crushing a marathon.
Yeah, and what sort of, brought a tear to my eye was the fact of the redemption here, because he had the world record over the half.
It was cruelly taken away.
Yeah, had 120 tees and then got stolen. Highway robbery, 127 tees, came along, bang. Half marathon stripped away from the big fella.
Which and, must have been gutting at the time when the notification came through.
When he took all the t-shirts off.
It's probably taken months to cut those off and restore circulation to the body. I mean, we talk about our shorter distances, our 5Ks and our 10Ks, and you can get out and sort of compete in those for a week or two after. But mate, what sort of downtime would you need after lugging 120 t-shirts around for a half marathon? Like, that could be a good 6 months.
Yeah. What is it? A week for every mile, a day for every mile.
Yeah, a day for every mile, and probably a day for every shirt as well.
Yeah,
I would have thought
there'd be some calculation that the boffins in the t-shirt running world would know of. But yeah, what a story! And he's come out and absolutely annihilated that record. Previous marathon record was 54 t-shirts back in David Smith. Back in 2022, so he's absolutely smacked him up, getting 78 running shirts on. Sponsored by Summit Snacks, and he had a noon hat on, had the GoPro out. Mate, what a run! And we'll put photos up on our Instagram, and put the link in the show notes, because it is a sight to behold. 30 pounds of shirt, yeah.
Well, there has been some whispers in the t-shirt wearing community that some of the clothing articles that David has on might not actually be shirts. There is a whisper that he is actually wearing several tents, because the size of the t-shirt that he's got on from Summit Snacks, I'm pretty sure I could sleep in it. Like, that is a sleeping bag. It literally, I've no idea how many X's are in that, the front part of that, but it's absolutely enormous. I mean, I'm amazed that he can actually, like, his arms poke out the bottom of it, to be honest.
The race directors got behind this, got him to start. They allowed an earlier start, and he needed that sort of 6 hour window.
Well, yeah,
is a sign for marathons in the future that they'll potentially, look at a separate category or maybe even a separate day for these sort of events.
I think, as we see when we go to Gold Coast and go to Sydney and obviously go to Melbourne, and if you want a preferred start, you have to put your entry in, and it's only the elite of the elite athletes that get to start on the front line. And here's David. Not only has he got an elite start being up the front, he's got a head start by about 3 hours on everyone else. I'm amazed that, I mean, to be honest, he could have had a pacer. I'm not sure if he like had the pace car out in front of him, may have even had a bike with a Tesla beam. I don't know.
That's huge. Huge.
I think there is some news that David is potentially thinking about Valencia at the end of the year to try, and he's got the sub-5 project in the works. So aiming to go sub-5 in 78 t-shirts, which would be just a phenomenal feat of human endurance.
Hopefully I get a live stream for that one, mate.
Well, I have absolutely no doubt.
5 hours of your life when I get back.
Kelvin Kiptoo, I hope, wanting to set a new world record. Well, he won't be the only world record holder getting out there. So, it's hard to share the limelight. But, full marks.
Big news. Mate, it's always good to have a bit of a follow-up story and, a Cinderella story ending for old David. But just on that, I thought, our man Uncle Chen. I'm still waiting to hear back from management. It's just fell on deaf ears. Put a few requests out over the DMs and nothing. I did a bit of a Google. I just thought maybe he's rolled a 10 or a half or something in prep, because I know November last year might have been when he dropped the bomb and ran the three and a half hour marathon whilst chain smoking. But nothing on the I think his Strava's gone dark. There's just nothing to find on Uncle Chen. So we'll keep listeners hosted on that. I'll keep just digging away and see if we can get a breakthrough. But when you do Google Uncle Chen, it is, mate, there's 40 pages of links of articles from everyone's covering it.
It's actually mind-blowing.
TMZ, The Telegraph, The New York Post. I mean, The New York Post went with Grandpa Completes Marathon While Chain Smoking. There's just, Chain Smoking Man Runs Marathon in 3.5 hours. There's just a lot of very amusing headlines. And even Google's just gone, we're sick of people asking. We just got quick answers. So, that, you know, when you Google something, it's got people also ask.
Yes.
One of them was, how many cigarettes did Uncle Chen smoke? And the answer there was someone. I mean, I think this is to be verified, but they're saying 42. So a cigarette a day.
Yeah, one.
That's good. Someone else said, who is the Chinese man who smokes during the marathon? And it just says, middle-aged runner Chen. If you have his full name, we won't reveal it because I know a lot of people are trying to get a hold of him. Became an internet sensation after finishing a marathon with a cigarette dangling from his mouth.
There were rumors circulating that Chen was being sought out as a draw card for the return of the Puffing Billy fun run this year. But I have spoken to Nigel and can confirm that Uncle Chen has not been invited to Puffing Billy this year. But the door is always open. So, yeah, watch this space on that one.
I like just that there's a people have also Googled, has a 50-year-old Chinese man run a marathon while smoking cigarettes? You can imagine someone in a pub has just sort of told this story.
Yeah, completely blind.
Yeah, and so, no, that's not possible. That's,
no.
And they've chucked in the Google machine and it's spat out a picture of Uncle Chen. Just, anyway, we're definitely not promoting this behavior.
But no, no, we're definitely frowned upon. We certainly do enjoy talking about it.
Mate, it's we need to straighten up here and wrap things up. We got a big weekend down at Shepparton. It's going to be exciting. You've got, geez, I reckon it'd be 20 plus Run to BB athletes and
between athletes and coaches, you're going to be very, very close to 25, which is really cool. So obviously a lot of Shepparton based athletes from my crew, but got some people making the trek from Melbourne. And interstate as well, which is very exciting. So yes, hopefully Shepparton's meant to turn it on for the weather. It's looking fantastic. I did see the weather,
look, mate. And I've heard you complain about Shepparton weather before, so
no, that doesn't sound like me.
I'll be very excited to see.
Weather's looking good. Those who are enthusiasts of porcelain cows, they'll be out and about. So the Moving Art Festival throughout Shepparton, if you like cows painted as superheroes and different other bits of artwork, if you're after the tour, more than happy to take you around. Zaka could be a good one for yourself. Brady, just a bit of sightseeing before you come and have a run Sunday morning. But that's obviously a draw card, usually brings a lot of people to Shepparton.
Have you got the red carpet out for Brady? Have you guys organised that? Because I'm just tagging on his coattail. We'll have the Kia coming down the highway. And no doubt there's an autograph booth set up from the Shepparton Running Festival.
I believe there might be a Lululemon tent set up for those that want to meet and greet with Brady.
Bit of a connection with him, yeah.
Yeah, just sort of get in there and celebrate, do a bit of networking and all that sort of stuff. But no, all going well. We're hopeful that Brady will come and join us regular folk, us blue collar people over the Shepparton Runs Club. He's going to put on a show on Sunday. He's going to run well. He's planning a session, I believe, for the marathon. And You'll be out there sort of slapping hands. And the Shepparton course lends itself to that being a bit of an out and back course where, yeah, you will get a couple of cracks at saying good day to everyone. Obviously, a very familiar face in the running community, but Madeline Heiner as well will be getting about, and obviously yourself as well, Zacha, and I'll be out and about on the push bike, just giving a few words of encouragement and support. So no, very, very excited for the day that the return of the Shepparton Running Festival. It's been, oh look, four years since we had the running festival on, new course, and the floods have dropped enough that we can actually run it on the paths that, that we were intended. So it's all looking good, and you get to see some of the bits and pieces of the, well, the people that are running the half and the marathon will get to enjoy some of the bike paths that I enjoy on a daily basis around Kyala.
Might pass the statue, mate, the Armstrong statue down
there. Yeah, it's hard to find. You may not spot it. But whilst you are out in that section of Kyala, you may hear the rooster. so if anyone spots the rooster or gets close to catching it, you will be an absolute hero to some of those people on the Kyala residence page.
No, it's going to be fun, mate. It's going to be real fun. Hey, another event that's kicking off soon. It's coming up in September. It's, there's a link on the Run the Tam website. It's a new challenge. It's for mental health. It's 8K per day, Run for Mental Health.
Mm.
Great initiative to raise awareness for much needed, obviously, funds and awareness in this space. So Darren Templeton, Run the Tan, who puts on an amazing event. We've had him on the show in the past. He's got this up and going. He can create it. You can do it yourself. You can join a team. And, yeah, really good way to, support an important cause. So we'll chuck that in the show notes. But if you jump on the Run the Tan Instagram page, you'll see the new challenges launched. And, it's a really cool concept. So, good stuff from Dazzling putting that together, and we'll chat about that over the next few weeks as it gathers steam for through the next couple of months.
I love that, and an absolutely brilliant course as well.
Mate, it's been a big show. It's race week, so looking forward to seeing you later this week.
It's going to be good, mate. Not long to go now. Give you a bit of Shepparton hospitality and, yeah, get to meet a few more of the Run to PB crew as well.
Good stuff, mate. We'll see you soon, and we'll chat next week on here for the Better With Running podcast.
See you then.
See ya.